The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. And Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you again today to bring the Word of God today. And as I was meditating on this text and studying through it, it became clear to me that there are many things that we do, many things for which we're familiar, but that when the moment comes to actually do that thing, we recognize that maybe we're not as clearly attuned to what it is we're doing. Let me give you an example. So I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor, and more than 10 years ago, I was a student at Calvin Seminary, and my father is a preacher and a pastor, so I've sat in on many, many sermons. I've listened to many sermons. I've watched many sermons. But do you know what happened when I had to start writing my first sermon? What did I have to do? I always start writing my sermons with a piece of paper. Technology is wonderful, but I like to start with paper and a pen. And what did I, a young seminary student, have to do? I had to remind myself what preaching is. So what did I do? I pulled out my sheet of paper, and at the top of my paper, I would summarize for myself what I believe the Bible says about what preaching is. So I'd write a couple of lines, this is what preaching is. And then the second thing that I would do is I would write a couple of lines reminding myself what I believe the Bible tells me about what God will accomplish through me preaching. Because I needed to be reminded what preaching is about. Our text for today reminds us what missions is about. We all know what missions is, don't we? We send missionaries far away. We give money. We pray for them. But do we remember, do we really know what missions is about? Based off of the text that we read, if someone were to come up to you and ask you, "You're a Christian, what's Christian missions all about?" How would you answer based off of the text that we just read? Well, I think the text that we just read gives us two main points about what missions is truly about. Starting from the end, our text shows us that Christian missions involves spiritual warfare. Did you catch that at the end? What were the disciples doing? Verses 12 and 13. Preaching, casting out demons, and healing the sick. Do you know what that shows us about missions? Is that when we send out missionaries, we're sending them out into a battleground. Because missions, first of all, is spiritual warfare. But then in reading the text, we learn something else about what missions is all about. What is missions all about besides spiritual warfare? There is no Christian missions apart from radical dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. So look, all I've done is summarize the text. Okay? It's all there. So what is missions about? First and foremost, our text teaches us that missions is about spiritual warfare. And the reason why I wanted to start at the end of our text is because this is one of those points that's so basic to our faith, but that we overlook so easily. That any type of Christian missions, any type of Christian missionary activity is spiritual warfare. It's spiritual activity. Let's look together at verses 12 and 13 again. Actually, let's go back up starting in verse 10. Jesus tells his disciples, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. So they preached and they cast out demons and they anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So why is it that we're saying that Christian missions is spiritual warfare? What do we see in our text? When the Lord sends us somewhere, what can we expect? Resistance. Rejection. When the Lord Jesus sends us out on mission, what does he send us to do? To preach or teach? To heal? And to cast out demons? Now you're looking at me funny. Casting out demons, maybe in, you know, far-flung countries in the third world or the developing world, but not here. And it's fascinating. A couple of weeks ago, my former beloved professor Carl Bosma preached a sermon in which he highlighted that this isn't a one-off. That when the gospel writers summarize Jesus' ministry, we tend to see the three together. That Jesus, in his missionary ministry, did what? He preached, he taught, he cast out demons, and he healed the sick. You don't believe me? Let's look at what the Bible says. So, Mark 1, you can listen or you can follow. Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. It's the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. And how does the Gospel writer John Mark summarize Jesus' mission? He says in Mark 1, 14 and 15, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee doing what? Proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel.'" So what is primary to Christian missions? Preaching, proclaiming, announcing the gospel. Why? Because when we preach the gospel, what's going on? Heaven is breaking into our world. The kingdom of God is descending in and through the gospel, in and through the power of Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, into our world. The spoken preached word is useful not because it's the most eloquent or intelligent, but because it's the means that God himself has chosen to do what only the gospel can do, which is open the eyes of the blind, free the prisoners, save sinners. But is Christian ministry only gospel preaching? It is gospel preaching. But is it only gospel preaching? No. Because listen to what Mark 1, 38 through 39 says about what Christian missions is about how Jesus did missions. Mark 1, 38 and 39 says, "And he said to them, 'Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out.'" preaching again. And verse 39, he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Let's find another one. Matthew 4, 23 and 24. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. One more. Matthew 9, verse 35, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And then you go and you look just above verse 35. Verses 32 through 34. And what is Jesus doing at a synagogue? Healing a demon-possessed man who was mute. So is Christian ministry only about gospel preaching? It's foundational. It's primary. But it's not the only thing, is it? Isn't it the reason why? Often when we send missionaries, they know the word of God, but what do they do when they get to a new place? They build wells. They build clinics. They start schools. Why? Because the gospel, which is spiritual, also affects and displays itself in physical, material ways, doesn't it? This is me. I will never trust a church or a missions organization that only does good things like building wells, building hospitals, building clinics, building schools. Why? Because that's not Christian missions. I will also not trust a missions organization that only preaches the gospel. Only spiritual. We don't care about people who don't have enough food. We don't care about the sick. Why? Because our text seems to be showing us that in Jesus' ministry, in Christian missions, spiritual warfare is happening, and it affects the spiritual world. People are being saved. People are being called to repentance, but their lives are also being physically affected through God's servants. So when someone asks you, what is Christian missions about? Show them. It's about spiritual warfare. What is foundational to Christian missions? The message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came into the world to destroy the works of the devil, to free us from the power of sin by giving us his life as a sacrificial offering on the cross so that whoever believes in him may be saved. That's foundational. And that same gospel changes people's hearts, transforms their lives in such a way that their lives physically change. Relationships change. Situations change. But there's more. Secondly, our text shows us that there is no Christian missions apart from radical dependence on Christ. Christian missions is not Christian missions unless we are depending radically, completely, totally, ultimately on who? Jesus. Does that make sense? There's nothing new or foreign or crazy about that. What does that mean? Look at verses 7 through 9. We read, and he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. Did you notice who all the action verbs are centered on? Who's doing the actions in verses 7 through 9? Isn't it the Lord Christ? He calls his disciples. He sends them out two by two. He gives them authority or power over unclean spirits, demonic spirits. He charges them to fulfill his mission, his way. Why do we say that Christian ministry is radically dependent on Jesus Christ. It's because without Jesus, we can do nothing. Jesus calls us. Jesus sends us. And by the way, can we ask this question? Who does Jesus send on his mission? His? Are you a disciple of Christ? But I thought only missionaries were called and sent. I thought only ordained people were called and sent. Just the pastor and the elders and the deacons and the missionaries that you support, right? I appreciate you. You read your Bible and you know your Bible. All disciples. Why? Because all Christians have what? The Spirit of Jesus. All Christians have authority and power to resist sin and Satan, sin in our own lives and Satan out in the world. All of us. So, we may not all be missionaries, it's true, but we are all called and sent by the Lord to preach, proclaim, share, to represent him everywhere. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21 tells us that what? We are ambassadors for Christ. What does an ambassador do? An ambassador is an officially sent person to represent his or her leader, ruler. That's what we are. And we cannot do what Christ calls us to do if Christ doesn't send us, if Christ doesn't empower us, if Christ doesn't give us what we need for his ministry in our own neighborhood, in our own land, in our own times today. So I think this is a challenge to us. It's a challenge to us because if you're like me, you don't want to depend on anyone. If you're like me, you want to do things your way, with your own money, so that you can pick what projects or what things you want to do, and you don't have to be accountable to anyone except God. But that's not Jesus' way of doing missions. Did you know that? Not only are we radically dependent on Christ directly for everything that we need, but how does the Lord Jesus provide for all of our material needs? Right? Because when you send missionaries, they go with your prayers and what else? You support them financially, don't you? Look at what our text says. Verses 8 through 10. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. So there are two aspects of this dependence on Jesus. How does Jesus provide for our needs? Not just through prayer. Not only miraculously, but also through our brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is the normal way that missions has been happening for generations. How do missionaries go? Not by themselves. Most missionaries these days, unless you're in a closed country, most missionaries are sent by a church, by a missions organization, and given everything that they need to do the work of God there. But there's the second part where Jesus says, when you go to a place, when they welcome you, stay there. Why does Jesus say, stay? Don't float around. Don't rent an Airbnb, but go into people's homes. Why does he say that? Because that's how we depend on him, by depending on other believers. How do we show that we love God? By loving our brothers and sisters Who are our brothers and sisters, other Christians? The two are connected. How do we show that we trust Jesus, that we depend on Jesus? By depending on one another to provide for each other's needs. Can I be honest with you? I don't like it. No. I'm a real American. I like my independence. Why can't I just work a job, work a great job, make the money that I need, and do my thing? My wife once asked me, how much money, I don't know if I shared this with you, how much money would we have to make that you would be okay giving away half of it and we live on the rest for the rest of our lives? And I thought about it for a long time. Did some calculations, and I said, $40 billion. No, I'm being honest with you. And lest you think that I'm greedy, with $40 billion, I don't even crack the Forbes top 50. Why? Why do I think this way? Because where do I think the power comes from? Money. Money is power, right? But what is Jesus saying? He uses money, obviously. But what's more important? Trusting him by trusting people to take care of our needs. I left a church in Montreal to come work with my parents. And I'll be honest, I'm not complaining, but I took a pay cut. You know, and what's fascinating, you realize how much this ministry depends on God and it depends on people. Because how do we live? By our partners, by donors. But do you know something? It makes you love God and it makes you love people more. Do you know why? Because you know that they're thinking about you. You know that they care about you. You know that you're not just another face for them. And why do you stay in one place? To show gratitude. It's very true. Listen, my dad grew up preaching in different churches, and usually what happened is you preach in a place, and there was usually a family that would invite us to have dinner with them afterward. So we would go all over Michigan, and one time we went up to McBain. Anyone here from McBain or have cousins in McBain? Yeah, McBain is a good place. And there's only one place I will ever stay when we go up to McBain near Cadillac. It's at the Winkles. Grandpa Phil and Grandma Kathy. Why? Because more than a decade ago, when I was just a teenager, we went and we preached, and they invite us to their house afterward, and they had two-wheelers. Oh, they knew how to get us. They had two-wheelers, and they had property, and we had ourselves a great time. But they're not just partners. They're not just supporters. They are family. Stay. I'm a preacher now. I have children. We go preach in different churches. What happens? Well, we have a sending church in Kalamazoo, down south. And I started preaching there as a student. And what happened? We were invited to eat dinner at Tom and Nancy Onderlindy's. So what do you think happens every single time we go visit Kalamazoo, which is our sending church? There's only one place where we can go. It's the Onderlindy's, who my children call Grandpa Tom and Grandma Nancy. Why? Because they are taking care of us. They are providing for our needs. And it's not them, but it's Christ. Showing us how to depend on him. By the way, I'm not telling these stories to get you to invite us to your house. Just to be clear, okay? Just to be clear. But to simply show that what Christ is saying is true. He says in another place, all those who give up family, who give up country for the sake of the gospel will have hundreds of mothers and brothers and sisters because of the gospel. That's what we found. That wherever we go, wherever the Lord sends us to preach, wherever the Lord sends us to do his work, he provides people. Because missions Christian missions depends on Christ, on the power and authority that he gives, but also on him who provides for us through other believers. Christian missions is about depending on Jesus Christ, and Christian missions is about spiritual warfare. Brothers and sisters in Christ, can we wake up? What's wrong with our world? What's wrong with America? It's not politics. I know the election season is coming up. I wish we could move somewhere else, but this is our home. Politics isn't the problem. What does the Apostle Paul say? Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual powers. Do you know who's behind all the problems in the world today? Satan and our own sin, which is why Christian missions is spiritual warfare. But you cannot do the work of God. You cannot do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ if you don't use his resources, his weapons, prayer, the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. So I leave you with these questions. Will you trust the Lord Jesus for your own life? Will you depend on him to provide for you where you are now, whatever you are going through? He is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think. Trust him. Depend on him. He never fails his servants. Number two, will you accept and see and understand that Christian missions is primarily, I did not say only, but primarily a spiritual battle? If you know that it's spiritual, then we have to act spiritually. We are called. We are sent. We have his authority, and he's shown us how to go into this world. Trust him. Depend on him. He will be faithful. We will be victorious. Amen. Let's pray.